Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheaty Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm okay. I feel like the international break has been driving us slightly insane, Josh, but not so insane that we're back to record another podcast this week, previewing game week 13.
We had a long running order. We were talking about the UEFA Nations League, and we were talking about the U.S. men's team, and lots of other stuff. We actually recorded about 30 minutes of podcast that we've just totally scrapped. Because
pretty much doing everything we could to not talk about FPL. So let's get rid of that. Right, let's get down to brass tacks. And
exactly.
And I'm just coming out with my slogan that I'm repurposing from M&M's, melts in your mouth, not in your hands, because it's the international break defined by two M's, Mendy and Martial. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about both of those guys and a number of other issues circling around game week 13 and then leading into the festive fixtures. So, but before we get into the meat of the podcast, we've got some housekeeping that we want to take care of. First up, it's our Patreon page. If you want to support the podcast, you just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Josh, we've been working hand in hand with our producer level supporters, and we're putting together some exclusive podcasts. You want to talk quickly about the exclusive podcast that we're going to start putting together now just for our Patreon subscribers?
Yeah. Anyone who's listened to the podcast the last couple of years knows that we do a little pledge month every December. It's just like a, hey, like if you've been thinking about supporting the podcast and maybe you just got like a Christmas bonus and $3 a month doesn't mean that much to you anymore, then hey, why don't you support the pod? So we're going to throw out a few, extra Patreon exclusive podcasts this month. We're going to do an Ask Us Anything podcast. We're going to record that next Monday night. And any patron, any pledge level can ask us any question about anything. That can be an FPL question. That can be a question about our personal lives. That can be a question about, Mike DiPietro is one of our producers, suggested, you know, a ranking of the best Detroit, like the best athletes in Detroit sports history. I could do a whole series of podcasts on that. I'll try to restrain myself. Also going to do an FPL draft podcast, which I'm pretty excited about. We're working on lining up a guest for that. And we're also going to do a book club. You and I are both going to read, it's inspired by Rafe Khan, another one of our producers. We're going to read a book called The Italian Job, which is a comparison of English and Italian football cultures. So we're going to read that book. We're both going to read it over the holidays, and we're going to do a podcast about it afterwards. So if you want to join us, then you can read that book as well. And if you have any questions about it, we'll share a link on our Facebook and Twitter and Slack and all that stuff. So
we're just out here to prove that I can actually read. So I need to put the L in FPL stands for literacy. Isn't that right?
it should. Yeah, it very well should. But Brandon, I want to get into the heart of the podcast. Yeah. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got Mendy. We've got Marshall. We've got a lot more. We have a lot of long-term strategy questions that have come up. I think a lot of people sitting around the last couple of weeks have started to think about the holiday fixture, started to think about, team balance, people who still have a wild card or when it went best to play it. So we have a kind of like a long-term strategy section coming up.
I cannot believe the festive fixtures are starting up. I think it's nine game weeks and five calendar weeks coming up, which is insane.
So great. Yeah. It's so great. But Brandon, before we get into that, can you please run off the top 10 in the Always Cheating Super League? We didn't get a chance to do it in last week's podcast.
Yeah.
And because we are now the fourth toughest league in the world, I think that these 10 managers deserve some extra credit.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing. Yeah, pat yourselves on the back just for competing in the Super League. Go to the FPL homepage, and we're now the fourth toughest league in the world, just below Patrick Van Aanholt's League of Doing Bits. So yeah, starting at number 10, it's Christian Juereb, Gilda Faber FC. Man, we're gonna have some hard names this week, I can already tell. Ninth place, it's Aril Ravadran. Eighth place, Matt Frisky. Seventh place, Eric Neuhauser. Sixth place, Luke Mitch Whaley. Fifth place, Fabio Borges.
Fabio Borges, back in the top 10. This guy is like 3 years in a row he's been in the top 10.
Total legend.
Fabio Borges must be one of the most underrated great managers in FPL. It's unbelievable.
The fact that Fabio doesn't have a hashtag FPL Twitter account is just, it blows my mind.
He is the only good FPL manager who has not started a series of YouTube videos. I'm very impressed with Fabio.
All right, well done, Fabio. In fourth place, it's Miroslav Pujic. Third place, Konstantinos I do apologize, Constantinos.
Did you sneeze in the middle of that?
Oh, man. Greek is a tough one for me. I hope you're Greek, Constantinos. In second place, Jason Mann, and holding firm in first place, it's Guy, Wijnaldum, Leviosala, with a grand total of 896 points. So just looking at the top 10 here, overall in the world, Guy is ranked number 7, Jason Mann, number 14 overall, and Constantinos, number 20. So our top three managers are ranked all in the top 20 overall in the world. Well done. It's never too late to join the Super League. Just go to our website, alwayscheating.com, and click the league tab.
Quick Patreon thank yous, Brandon. We have two new Lord Sorloth patrons, Marvin Andre. Thank you, Marvin. Miles Chatain. Thank you, Miles. New Mbakani patron, Jeff Holt. Thank you to Jeff.
Excellent. And it is the international break, so I will just throw in my own rant of the week. Please stop calling it IB because it just reminds me of irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, yeah. And my mini rant is for the U.S. men's team to finally get a head coach. Like, come on.
Is that a rant or is that just common sense?
That's just common sense. All right, we would normally take a break, Brandon, but let's just get right into the podcast itself, all right?
Yeah.
Part one is, I'm calling this section, Mendy and your third midfielder. these seems to be the two big questions going into this game week is what to do with Mendy. You know, his ownership overall, maybe not insanely high. His ownership within the sort of active FPL community, extremely high.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if you don't have Mendy, I think this discussion is still interesting because, you know, we sort of it's worth just looking at some of the, you know, key defenders that you might want over the next, you know, six to eight game weeks.
Yep.
And then the third midfielder question is, I think, one that a lot of us are dealing with, whether, you know, whether we're dropping Madison, whether we're, you know, I don't know, like it's sort of deciding between Richarlison and Anthony Marshall. And so Adam Hopcraft had a question for us. I actually think it sets the table for this discussion really well. Just says, Anthony Marshall, good option or overperformer? And then it says, thoughts on Mendy replacements. Are we best to go for Laporte or downgrade to free up cash to fund the likes of Marshall, Kane, et cetera? I like that Kane show.
I know. And
you see that goal, Brandon, that second goal yesterday was pretty
proper
good.
Kane goal right there. It's just fuel to the, well, is it fuel to the fire? I think people are just still trying to set this Kane fire still for FPL.
Yep.
And there's this.
They're still rubbing the sticks together. It's not quite
yeah, exactly. They do go hand in hand. I am perplexed by the question of I am not a Mendy owner, so I kind of lucked out there. Mm-hmm. I do find it very interesting, the idea of, do you downgrade? Because what do you do with that money? There aren't a lot of upper mid-price premium assets where you'd need to clear up $1 million just to get your hands on. So I think it's really kind of team dependent. But let's focus on Anthony Martial, who is the guy that I brought in right at the start of the international break. I stuck it out with
the tease revealed.
The tease is revealed.
Amazing.
He is mine and I am his, Anthony Martial. I hung on to James Maddison, even though he was out injured, because I decided to move Mitro on instead for Jimenez. So I was going to lose yet more value on Maddison as Martial was going up. I just decided to make that move real quick just to capitalize on the team value there. Mm-hmm. So I'm in on Martial. The question now is how international breaky is this groin injury? Probably very. I expect he'll be back in game week 13. And then the larger question, which Adam tees up, is he overperforming or what? You fired up a lot of stats just to get the conversation going, Josh, I don't know if we're calling these mid-priced midfielders. They're basically just midfielders that aren't Salah, Hazard, and Sterling.
Right, they're under 10 million.
Yeah, but Martial, compared to his cohorts, he really, it doesn't look like he does a whole lot stats-wise other than just score goals. So here, let me get you in on this, Josh. Is it a philosophical question of, this guy is just red hot, he's scoring goals for fun in FPL, despite what the stats say, despite what historically we know about Jose Mourinho, Manchester United, and maybe Martial too.
Right.
I don't know. How bullish are you on this guy right now?
I don't know what we know about Martial in some ways, right? I mean, I know that he's an unbelievably talented player who still extremely young, had a very difficult second season with the club. It's kind of amazing, actually, it's actually his fourth season with the club. I thought he was in his third season. That's kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
Has not really taken flight until the last five game weeks. I don't think it's a coincidence that coincided with Lukaku being out too. I mean, I think that's a big factor. Lukaku has a tendency to kind of suck all the oxygen out of that team.
Yep.
When he's in good form, it's great. And he does seem to be passing the ball a little bit better this year, which I think is, has certainly helped the rest of his teammates. It doesn't feel like the attack is quite as built around Lukaku as it used to be. It feels like it's maybe built a little more around Pogba this season.
Yeah, definitely.
So I do think his stats, it's like a little, you have to take some of his stats with a grain of salt, right? He didn't play in three of the first four matches this season. He only played in 59 minutes, 19 minutes, 27 minutes, and the other three. It really wasn't until game week seven that he started to get significant minutes. So, I mean, because of that, we're really talking about six starts, and he has, six goals and six starts. Of course, he's way outperforming his expected goals, given just the number of goals he's scoring in those few minutes. I do think that he looks like he's a confident player. Like, just looks like he's playing at his best for maybe the first time since he joined the club.
Yeah.
Back during God, who was that manager? What was the name of the manager before Mourinho?
Louis Van Gaal.
Dutch manager.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. He had that great start under Van Gaal, and then kind of just didn't work under Mourinho. Yep. And so I don't know. Yeah. I mean, my concern now is actually that when Lukaku is back, if he is back, it looks like he's injured again. Does he sort of suck all the oxygen out again, or can Martial still shine, together with Lukaku?
The things that jump out to me, we've got stats here for about 17 different midfielders from Fraser and the various Silvas who play for Manchester City, Mahrez, Schürrle, Felipe Anderson, Pogba, Ozil, and so on.
Yep.
Martial has the worst baseline bonus out of anyone save Richarlison, strangely.
Right.
That's a red flag. He has only one successful cross. So in terms of bringing his teammates into play, it's kind of questionable. You're going to Martial for one thing and one thing only. It's to get goals, and he's giving them to you. So
how can he have one successful cross? How is that even possible? That seems so low.
Yeah, I guess it's just not a thing that he does when he gets the ball. That's not his brief when he gets on the pitch. He's
sure. You don't expect wingers to cross the ball. That's not a thing that they do, right?
I assume you're being facetious there.
Yeah, I am. I am. Yeah, that's just weird. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. So it becomes a. I mean, where do you stand on the just going for a full-on form player, even though we have some historical data which might scare you off him?
Just in a weird, by some weird coincidence, you and I both went on very public forums advocating for Anthony Martial this week.
Uh-huh.
I was on the Fantasy Premier League website advocating for him, and you were on Fantasy Football Scout. So I do feel like we've got to, I don't want to back away from anything I said there. I mean, with him, it's got to be a bit of a feeling,
Yeah.
And if you're not a manager who's comfortable transferring a player in on feeling or form, maybe not form so much, because form can be backed up a little bit with stats, but it just feels like he is a player. He just feels like a different player than he was.
Yeah.
I don't know what you expect. I mean, do I expect him to continue to get a goal or two every single match? No, I don't. And I don't think you need that from a 7.5 million midfielder. That's not what you should expect.
Yeah.
Right. I think that at that, at 7.5 million, you're hoping for what? You're hoping for attacker returns every other match, I would say, is kind of roughly what you would hope for a player at that level. Maybe for a fourth midfielder, it's every third match is what you're looking for.
I mean, the guy that stands out heads and tails above everyone in the stats table is Ryan Fraser. His great baseline bonus, he's taken 40 corners this season. But big chances created, 13 for Ryan Fraser. Next below him, it's David Silva with seven. So you think of Silva as the little magician. He's in this free-flowing attack for Man City. But there's Ryan Fraser almost doubling the number of big chances created. I think if you're looking to move out a midfielder in the mid-price range, Ryan Fraser remains the best value in the entire game.
Yeah, like I know some people got stuck with Knockart, you know, when he looked like he was in form, or I don't know, even like Conte, like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, I know like some people like kind of roll their eyes, but you look at a lot of these teams out there and a lot of people like had other problems to deal with or whatever. And they're kind of stuck with some weird 5 to 6 million midfielder, you know, that's not uncommon at all. Brendan, I'm out there, I'm pounding the pavement. I'm talking to managers. I'm sitting in on sessions, you know, and I just think that, yeah, it's like Fraser is the answer. Like, it's like we all got like a little bored with him, or like he's not like, you know, he was really excited the first few weeks.
Yeah.
And because his fixtures are not so hot coming up, I think we've all sort of forgotten what incredible value he represents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 6.2 million. He's got 6 assists, 3 goals in the season. Like you said, almost double as many big chances created as the next player in this under 9.5 million bracket that we put together. He's on corners, which just creates a number of chances for him to just pick up some easy points, you know, like he did in the Newcastle match. Mm-hmm. You know, he's right up there in terms of, you know, shots and shots on target too. So, you know, I think the other player that really, if you could afford him is David Silva. I think that, I'm leaning more and more towards trying to eventually fund I guess it's going to be like a Kennedy to Silva move, which I think I can actually do in 3 moves. It kind of depends on who I move Mendy for this week, but it'd be Mendy, and then I would hold my transfer in game week 14, and then I would downgrade Morata to some 5 million player, and then, or 5 to 6 million player, and then I would, I'd have about 4 million then, and then I could upgrade to Silva. So
I'm trying to think of the Dragon Ball Z reference that would be appropriate for Kennedy going so Super Saiyan that he becomes David Silva.
Yeah, I guess he'd have to be like fighting Cell or like one of the like big, obviously, you know, maybe Boo. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah. We got a couple questions here, Brandon. Nav555 on the Slack says, is it just me, or are there very few 8 and 9 million pound players to be interested in? Why is that?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I mean, just talking about David Silva, I think
I've got an answer for you.
I'm sorry?
Spurs. I said I've got an answer for you, which is Spurs.
Okay.
They're not even in this, like, they're nowhere right now. I mean, because you know, Dele and Eriksen have basically been off the grid for the last several weeks.
Yes.
I mean, those are your go-to 9 million-ish players. And, you know, you combine them with the sort of fear that we all have about having a Man City player. Only, like, no one wants to transfer in a player and not know if they're going to play that upcoming game week.
It's right? Not fun. No.
And if you transfer in a Man City player, including Raheem Sterling, there is always a chance that they are not going to play that upcoming game.
Right. Like Pochettino is building,
throwing people off.
Pochettino is building the ultimate FPL team in Spurs, and that he's like, if we don't buy any new players, then I will alleviate FPL managers' fear of rotation, therefore making Dele Alli and Eriksen that much more enticing. I do wonder, though, if we're also in this, there like peaks and valleys in terms of 8 to 9 million pound players. Like, you have to be, I feel like you have to have a certain track record to be priced that way in the game. Right? Salah last season came in at 9.5, I think it was.
Yep.
And he overperformed there. You have these players that are 8 or 9 million that are at huge teams like Manchester City. So you've got Mahrez and Sané and the Silvas, but they're getting outshone in an FPL sense by Aguero and Sterling. Where else you might see 8 to 9 million pound midfielders would be guys like Gylfi Sigurdsson. And it's kind of gone the other way, where he's being outshone by Richarlison, who's cheaper. So it does seem like a weird season in which the teams that have those priced midfielders, they're inessential because they're premium players performing better or value players performing better.
I will say, looking at Gylfi's stats, like when you sort of compare him to a lot of other players, he's probably slightly underrated as an FPL asset. I don't feel like there's a ton of excitement about him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's all really built around Richarlison and you know, Martial right now. But I mean, 2 assists, 5 goals on the season. You know, he takes corners. He, you know, is tops for successful crosses. You know, I don't know. It's just like he's got like a lot going for him. He's taken a ton of shots in the season, 29 shots, 10 of them on target on the season, a ton of touches in the final third. I don't know. Only 7.5 million. I mean, I actually wonder if he might be slightly better value than Martial.
It's an interesting question. You do see him kind of taking on this Pogba midfield marauder role at Everton. And if Everton are able
to... some pens.
Yeah, there's a lot to love there. We all love Gylfi. Let's talk about another midfielder we mentioned briefly, Sané, who scored 2 and 2 for Germany over the international break. Barry Johnson writes in, given how important a strong bench has been over the last few game weeks, would you say putting Sané in as a differential is just asking for trouble or worth the risk? So there is a bandwagon building much steam for Sané right now.
Yeah, I think it's possibly justified. I was surprised by just how many FPL returns he had. Like, I think he has attacking returns in 6 out of 12 matches on the season so far. And that's even with a couple matches that he just didn't play at all. You know, his minutes, Jeremiah Johnson pointed out on Twitter that in the 3 matches that Mendy missed, I think those were game week fixtures 5, 6, and 7, that he averaged 70 minutes, 90 minutes, and 90 minutes in those 3 matches. So there used to be this feeling, at least, you know, last season, that Mendy and Sané couldn't play together. And, you know, that was, I think Pep actually kind of went out and said as much, or maybe it was just assumed. I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, kind of at the start of this season, I think, when everyone was picking Sané as an interesting differential and he just didn't play.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, but they did ultimately play together a bit when Mendy returned. And so I think that he's an interesting option. I mean, the only thing that's frustrating about him is he's, you know, 9.2 million, which is a lot of money for I think I would prefer David Silva at 0.6 million cheaper.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I just trust him a little bit more.
I agree. It's a harder question. I think it's a harder question than that to answer, because there is another school of FPL thought of, do you just target the best players, the best FPL assets in any given team? Maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't agree that Aguero and Raheem Sterling are far and away the best attacking assets on Man City. Are you getting into a discussion of coverage when you're looking at David Silva and Leroy Sané there? And are you just cheating yourself? Are you just chasing when you should be figuring out instead how to get Raheem Sterling into your side?
Maybe. I think there's as much risk with Sterling, though. I mean, I do think that Sterling is more explosive, probably playing a little more like an actual forward in that team. So, but if you can't get there, it's a big jump, right? We're talking about what, like 2.5 million jump from Silva to Sterling. It's not it's not nothing. And so, I mean, there is a little bit of risk with rotation with Silva, but, you know, there's also, you know, a strong chance of, you know, a double digit return from him as well. And if you get double digit, I mean, I'm just like totally like wildly throwing numbers out now, but like, you know, if you get double digit returns in, or even just like, you know, 9 and 7, I mean, David Silva is like the king of the excellent, not double digit return, right? He has been like since he joined the league back in, you know, 2000.
An imperious 8-pointer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like a tech, like, you know, like with precision, you know, like 8-pointers, like 2 out of every 3 game weeks. You even see that now. I mean, the season he's got a 9-pointer, 9-pointer, 7-pointer, 9-pointer, you know, 11-pointer they threw in there as well. So, yeah, I think that, and he's only missed, you know, he's missed only 2 starts on the season. You know, one of those was game week 1 when he was still coming back from the World Cup. You know, he's a little bit like Aguero, where his minutes are being managed, but they're being managed in a way that basically has kept him out of the Champions League, you know, but it hasn't really kept him out of the Premier League so much. So, you know, I mean, he's obviously a little bit of a risk around the holidays, you know, as are all Man City midfielders. I mean, they're going to play, but that's true of so many of these top teams.
So we're going to get to this when we talk about Mendy, but I feel like because we're on midfield, we need to address this now. Given all the rotation, would you consider getting rid of all Man City defensive assets, whether you're on Ederson, Mendy, Laporte, and going Sané plus Silva, or Sané plus Sterling, or Silva plus Sterling plus Aguero up front. So three City attackers.
Yeah.
And then there is a there is this feeling that when there is the vicious cycle of rotation most pronounced during the festive fixtures, that at least you're going to get one or two of these guys in some gangbuster fixture.
I might consider if I was on a wild card. I think without a wild card, I just don't. It feels like it would take too many moves. I don't like, I'd ignore too many other problems to make that happen. Yeah. So, right. I like the idea in theory though. All right. Two short questions. One from Dave from Burnley, our long time friend, Dave from Burnley says, is Marshall a second season Michu or a title winning Mahrez?
Oh, we had some great times with Michu, and Martial smacks of Michu, reeks of Michu. There's no Mahrez about it.
For first season Michu, not second season Michu.
That's true. Michu gave us one great season. I'm trying to think of what's a band. Is Michu like the Counting Crows of FPL, in which he gave us one great album? Yeah, I don't know if there are any August and Everything After fans out there like me, but
yeah. No, he was Einstein on the beach for one great season. Monster Mash says two assists for Shaqiri last night. Liverpool looked better without him. Could he be a bargain at 7 million soon?
I think it's an inevitability that Shaqiri becomes a staple of that midfield. So, but I don't think it's time heading into game week 13 to jump on Shaqiri. And at 7 million, I think you can. You can be a little more nimble to get on him when the time is right. But yeah, I think the time is coming.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about him a lot on last week's podcast. So I guess I agree. Although, to be totally honest, he's still not like a player I want in my squad. I don't know. I just don't like that rotation risk, I guess.
There's a little bit of the Lallana about him. I mean, remember when basically every Liverpool attacker was viable and Lallana was a bit bargain, and you were just going back to what I was saying earlier, just selling yourself a little short.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you're going to get the big returns like you could with the Man City midfielder, you know, that make them kind of a little bit more worth the risk. All right, so let's move on to Benjamin Mendy, the other big question that seemingly everyone is talking about. So Brandon, I have Mendy. I have to solve a Mendy problem. I actually don't know what I'm going to do yet. I am still considering a lot of different options. So we pulled a stat chart for them as well. This is very stat based for us, right? We don't normally we go on feel a little bit more like that. We're like the pinball wizard, you know. We play by intuition. You know, just looking over these stats, one thing that really stood out for me. So I pulled a few. Like we just pulled a list of you know, bunch of different stats and players, big chances created, shots on target. I was very like attack minded with the stats that I pulled. Mm-hmm. Assists, baseline BPS, chances created, successful clearances and crosses, right? So Lucas Dean is shining in so many of these categories. I really was surprised by just how dominant he is in some of these. I mean, not dominant, but just like he's one of the top five in so many of these categories. He only has one assist on the season, but second most, he's tied with Hector Bellerin for big chances created. Has three shots on target. He's
11 right shots. The fact that he's taken 11 shots is astounding to me. I haven't watched a handful of Everton matches this season, like full 90 minutes of their matches. I can't think of I don't have a single memory of a Lucas Dean shot, but 11 of them here in the table, I see.
Yeah, he's not historically a huge goal scorer, which I think is what threw me off a little bit at first. A class player, but maybe not like a huge, you know, attacking player. But he's kind of the anti-Anthony Martial brand. He's got 22 successful crosses. Martial also like train with him in the offseason and work on.
Well, they're both French, so that could work.
Yeah.
Chances, he has the most chances created out of any of these defenders. You look at Andy Robertson, 15 chances created on the season and 20 created for Lucas Dean. So it's really impressive. I just have questions about that Everton defense as a whole.
Yep.
And the fixtures are a little sketch in the festive fixtures in the next, let's see, in the next seven, three of them are City, Spurs, and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't know if you're looking to Lucas Dean to get you returns every single week.
Right. He's kind of a he'd be more of a short-term buy, I think. It's not that I want Dean for the festive fixtures, but, you know, if just looking at just three of the next four, they're home to Cardiff, Newcastle, and Watford in three of the next four. They do have a Liverpool fixture next game week, but if you can look beyond that, it's a very nice run in three of the next four. So, you know, I do think that if you can bench him in game week 14, then you have three great opportunities to pick up a clean sheet, and maybe you get some attacking returns as well. So, yeah, I'm really like pushing hard for Lucas Dean all of a sudden, Brennan. What about Hector Bellerin? Are we just sleeping on Hector Bellerin? He's kind of a divisive player in FPL, I feel like.
Yeah, he's got a weird look happening this season with like the hiked up shorts and the long hair. It's like the longer his hair gets, the higher his shorts go. It's an interesting effect. Arsenal, they have tricky fixtures through game week 15 with Bournemouth, Spurs, and Manchester United. And I think the clean sheet prospects are pretty dicey. I mean, the clean sheet prospects are dicey for Arsenal, just full stop.
Right.
But at game week 16, right as we're getting into the heart of December and Boxing Day coming up, the fixtures turn really nice for Arsenal. Huddersfield at home, Southampton, Burnley, Brighton. So I think stick a pin in Bellerin and the Arsenal defense. Maybe Bird Leno if you're looking to make a goalkeeper swap at any point. So not quite yet for me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Bournemouth away, Spurs at home, Man United away in the next three. Not a great run. The obvious candidate here is Aymeric Laporte. I don't know if he's been – was not called up for France for the November games. I don't know if he's been called up for them at all. But he's like kind of the – like if you want to just be smart and not overthink it, just bring in Laporte, right? He's played every single match so far this season. They've got a pretty decent run in the next three. You know, it's, I mean, they play West Ham away. It could be a tricky fixture. You know, but then Bournemouth at home, they play Watford. I mean, the thing with Man City is they're kind of fixture proof, including their defense. I mean, obviously like we have the Ederson situation the last couple of game weeks, but if you can get past, those silly penalties that he conceded, they were just dominating those games. There was really no chance for the other team to score any goals in open play. So, you know, I think that if you want to just be smart about it, I don't really like the idea of picking up a replacement fullback. I mean, Fabian Delph is probably going to end up rotating with Danilo a little bit. It just feels like
Zinchenko could play in that position.
Zinchenko as well, exactly. So I wouldn't go that way. I mean, I guess I would consider Kyle Walker if you had the money. But I feel like Lucas Dean is just kind of the safe bet there.
Yeah, the only other two guys I would shout out would be Trent Alexander-Arnold, who I think was kind of the odd man out for the early part of the season with Andy Robertson. He's still priced at 5.0, and it looks like he's overcome some rotation issues, and he's had a great international break for England. I still like him, and I think that's value at 5.0. And then David Luiz, I think 5.6 – this is all very team dependent. If 5.6 is nothing for you, I think that's an interesting double up with Alonso. And David Luiz is a bonus magnet. He's got very good stats. He's taken quite a few shots, 12 shots. It's the same number of shots that pacey winger Hector Bellerin has had all season.
Yeah. What about Luke Shaw? Is that just too cheeky? Man United have not, their defense has not looked good the last few game weeks, but you know, he's definitely, you know, shown the potential for some attacking returns this season. They play Crystal Palace in game week 13. I mean, I haven't looked at the bookies odds yet, but they probably have, you know, one of the, you know, two or three best odds for a clean sheet this weekend. They play Southampton in game week 14, and then they play Fulham at home in game week 16. So, you know, three very solid fixtures in their next four. They play Arsenal at home too, which, you know, like they could keep a clean sheet in that one as well. I guess I'm sort of counting on a different Man United than we've seen so far this season, though. You know, like it yeah. would be like a real fixtures over form decision there. But I suppose with Shaw, you get some attacking returns too.
That Luke Shaw pick is so cheeky that it is even cheekier than Luke Shaw's fat face cheeks.
Wow. That was so mean.
Hey, I want in on the Luke Shaw is fat joke, so don't leave me out.
Anyone else? Who are we? I mean, you know, Seamus Coleman is kind of like a more expensive, slightly more attacking Dean. I guess he's kind of a possibility. Yeah,
I don't think you can justify Coleman over Dean given the price and how uncertain the Everton defense is. I would go Keno over Coleman if you're looking to get into the Everton defense. 4.9.
Right. Yeah.
And sure. always sure. a threat on it. We're sort of we're reaching, I don't know what the math science metaphor is here, but we're reverting to the mean. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where we started off, it was the season of the fullback. And I do think some central defenders like David Luiz are starting to, and Laporte are starting to say, hey, central defenders, we can score, we can attract bonus points. So I feel like we don't want to shortchange them at this point, particularly coming into a rotation heavy yeah. part of the season. Then the central defenders who are less rotation prone become a little more valuable.
It's a fair point. What about, I mean, so Wolves, we know that now that Johnny is out for like up to 6 weeks. Does that, you know, because I was honestly considering a Wolves triple up in their defense. And I guess there's a little bit, I still think that Matt D is going to end up being okay. You know, we haven't even really talked about Matt Doherty because, you know, he's very highly owned among the FPL community already. But, you know, if you don't have him, I guess you've got to wait a couple more days, wait for the press conference, make sure that he's okay. You know, he didn't play in the internationals because of his, you know, broken face, but,
yep.
I think he'll be fine for this weekend. Just
I do too.
Being, yeah. being not a doctor. I guess, you know, so is there any concern about, you know, not having Johnny? Does that make you a little more worried about the Wolves defense? Would you consider, you know, still taking a punt on someone like Bennett, you know, who's still available for, I think, 4.1 million?
Yeah, I think Wolves defense is still good value. Doherty is probably the best value defender in the game. And if I think above anyone else, even above Lucas Digne, who's at 4.8, Doherty now at 4.9, that's yep. an easy move from Mendy to Doherty if you don't already have him. Because yeah. Doherty is a season keeper. That's a move that you can make with confidence, bring him in, even if, and I'll buy lunch for you, Josh, if Doherty doesn't start in game week 13. I'll say it right here on the
wow
podcast.
Okay, that's which lunch? The lunch we're planning at the grill? That'd be amazing.
No, no, it's lunch. A one taco lunch. That's what I'm willing to buy you. and a water.
Final two defender options. And I guess at this point we're just sort of talking broadly about interesting defenders who are short term options. They actually play each other this weekend, Burnley and Newcastle. I know you're a big Ben Mee fan. You've had him in your team already this season. Newcastle, Palace, and Brighton in three of the next four. Very solid. If you feel like you have the stomach to trust Burnley's defense, which last year was like great, right? You could double up on that Burnley defense.
Yeah. But, so you know, welcome to the year 2018, November 2018. It is not last season, my friend. Burnley's mm-hmm. defense and their whole team is a joke, apart from Joe Hart, who's actually having like a great comeback season. Yep. I do not see this happening. I mean, interesting to talk about, I guess. We have to podcast every week, so we should talk about teams that aren't Wolves or Man City.
Yeah.
But what no, I do not okay. endorse this move. Ben Mee okay. blew up my defense for 2 weeks, and I did yeah. not appreciate it.
Did just keep a clean sheet away to Leicester, but I hear you. How about DeAndre Yedlin?
It's easy to keep a clean sheet, Joshua, when your entire offense, as you astutely pointed out, goes through Mark Albrighton. Yeah, so that's true. Don't tell me about keeping a clean sheet against against Leicester City.
All right. How about okay? Sorry, how about a more interesting option?
You got me all heated up here.
I can tell. A more interesting option. What about DeAndre Yedlin?
DeAndre Yedlin.
$4.5 million. Look at this. The run of fixtures over the right through game week 18 actually are spectacular. Right, Burnley, West Ham, Everton, Wolves, Huddersfield, Fulham. Probably pretty safe. I mean, Benitez, you know, used to be known for rotating his fullbacks. I don't think he's done it as much at Newcastle. Probably doesn't really have the squad depth to do it. But Yedlin has played every match but one so far this season, has a goal and an assist, has picked up, at one bonus point. You know, you got to love that one bonus point. I don't know. I mean, Lascelles would be interesting too, but he's got a shoulder injury right now. So I would actually like him a little bit more because it's kind of like we were talking about, you know, if you're going to bring in a player from Newcastle, it's kind of nice just to have him as a set and forget, you know, and like mm-hmm. a center back's just going to play like every single match, you know, including through the holidays in many cases. So, So Lascelles would be interesting if he comes back with the full bill of health. He's only 0.3 more than Yedlin.
I think Yedlin is the pick here because Newcastle have not been great this season. I mean, they're mm-hmm. coming into some form. If they are going to keep a clean sheet, great. But Yedlin does offer that attacking potential to trot out the FPL cliche. I like a Yedlin pick over doubling, tripling on Wolves defenders. Right. I like a Wolves double if it's a defender and Patricio. But mm-hmm. if you're thinking of Formendi bringing in yet another Wolves defender, I would point you toward Yedlin because his price is right. And as you said, Newcastle's fixtures are great. So I think that diversification among your budget defenders could act as a marginal differential depending on the game week.
Yeah, it may come down to Yedlin versus Dean as my Mendy replacement, unless I just go Laporte. I don't know. We'll see how much I mean, it's worth talking about because I think a lot of other managers do this as well. But I'm a little worried about overthinking it again. I feel like I overthought my transfers last week, and I wonder if the sensible move here is just to bring in Laporte. Like, just don't screw around. Just bring in Laporte. Have the top, you know, have the good player on the top team who's going to play in virtually every match.
Well, talk to me a little bit about your long-term thinking, because the only reason I think for you to not bring in Laporte is the money you're spending on him and what else you might do with that money. Because you're talking about moves 3 game weeks from now. And, you know, while I was just saying earlier in this podcast that what are the moves where 1 million might make the difference, probably few and far between. But if you're looking 2, 3, 4 moves ahead, I think that money really does help. So what's the thinking?
That is the thinking is, I guess it would be to free up money to move Kennedy to someone like David Silva. But I don't want to get too in the weight about my own team because people will just start to zone out, I think.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. You ever try talking to somebody who's done not playing FPL, like how fantasy works, or it's like their eyes just start to glaze over so fast.
I love how we're approaching this episode like everyone listening doesn't play FPL.
That's true.
We don't want to alienate them.
Like it's your first time listening. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break and we'll get back and we're going to talk about some long-term strategic thinking. And we're also going to do a lightning round.
Let's take a quick minute for our friends at Starting 11, the newest way to play daily Premier League fantasy for cash. Cash games are live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany for your iOS. And that's an iPhone, Josh. I don't know if you're familiar, but if you have an iPhone, you have iOS.
I read a Reader's Digest article. It sounds wonderful. It sounds like a nice device.
If you have an Android phone, you can also download the Starting 11 app to play free games everywhere around the world. Cash games are coming soon. Josh, we love Starting 11 because it is a clean slate every day in which there are at least 2 Premier League matches happening. You can start with a fresh team. Try out some cheeky picks. Luke Shaw, maybe he's looking a little flabby in FPL. He has this astounding physique. Any given day on Starting 11. And you have no budget constraints. You can adjust your lineup, tweak as you like, even after the lineups are announced. And when the games kick off, you can make 3 live in-game substitutions and affect how your matches are going, how they're scoring.
We went to the UK. We had a lot of fun betting money on things that we did not understand at all. Like, the odds of a... Duffy getting a goal in the first half of a match or something like that. And basically, I just blew a bunch of cash. And I was sort of thinking to myself, I would much rather just bet on fantasy than I would on this kind of type of gamble that I don't understand. That's what Starting 11 is. It's a way to channel your hard-earned fantasy dollar into real gambling. So maybe you won your mini league last year and you're just sitting on some cash. Why don't you try out Starting 11? Sit down some sweet cash. Try it out this weekend. It's a lot of fun. You and I have played 100 plus games apiece. Very entertaining game.
And it's awesome too because it's beautifully designed. I love all the different kit designs, and it's a little colorful and different than the FPL game. You can go to starting11.io for more information, links to download for your various devices, and there's a cool tutorial video there to show you exactly how you can use the app. So yeah, that's starting11.io. Download the app today.
All right, Brandon, we got kind of like a two-part lightning round here. We've got some long-term strategic questions. We also have just some general, I don't even know what you call them. We're just lightning round style questions. We have the lightning round questions that you've come to know and like, and we have the long-term strategic questions which you don't know yet, but which you may one day grow to love, Brandon.
Love them. You may marry these questions one day. They're so good.
Stephen Toomey says, your team is playing well. You continue to see green arrows and a slow, steady increase from game week 2. So specific. With fixtures turning, do you look at riding those teams that have got you where you are, or do you buy into the upcoming fixtures in teams like Tot-Mun-Arse? I assume he means Tottenham, Man United, and Arsenal.
I love this question from Stephen. It should be hashtag asking for a friend. I think in this situation you sort of dance with the date that brought you. Do I say that right?
Yep.
This is not the point of the season, particularly if you're having a good season, that you panic, you do anything rash. And the big we talk about this when we talk about the template, like the differentials are only a differential for 1 or 2 weeks max, because then they become template.
Right.
So I think if you're doing well, you're consistently seeing green arrows, there's no reason for you to rashly try to anticipate big fixture swings for Spurs or United or Arsenal. You'll see them happening and you'll be able to move on them as you need to.
Yeah, I think that's right. You don't lose much when low ownership players perform well. It's really about reacting once they do, and I don't think it's especially because players like Spurs and Arsenal players, they aren't cheap. It's not like you can just plug one of them in as your fourth midfielder or something. You have to drop a high performing player to bring one of them in. So that's really the issue. I mean, it's one thing if you're loading up on Wolves players, which is perfectly reasonable. I mean, they're priced like a promoted team, and yet they've been playing far above that this season. So that does make sense to sort of just even if you don't have any defenders, to go from having none to doubling up. It wouldn't be a crazy move because they've got good fixtures and they have a decent track record so far this season. But I think for the top players, you have to, like you said, ride it out until you can't anymore. I mean, the odds are one of these guys is going to get a hamstring or something anyway, and you'll have your chance.
To be slightly less abstract about it and more specific, I think Spurs, United, and Arsenal present three different case studies. Spurs, the player to get would be Harry Kane, and we've already tried that once already this season, and it burned a lot of managers. And what we've seen with Kane is he's not in great FPL form. United, they have a very informed player with Martial. He's the one player that you would focus on there. It's sort of a get on now or try to do without. And then Arsenal, as we discussed earlier, they would be ones to watch when their fixtures turn in game week 16. We've already seen what their strikers and Lacazette and Aubameyang can do. So they already have assets that are primed and ready to go, but I just don't believe that they're right for the picking until game week 16.
Byron Bruce says, are there any players outside the current template that you expect to take us by surprise as the game weeks come thick and fast? Who's going to take us by surprise, Brandon?
Yeah, I guess what jumps out at me are a couple of midfielders, one of which we touched upon briefly, Gylfi Sigurdsson, and then Felipe Anderson, who is still a midfield differential pick at West Ham. West Ham obviously have a really tough fixture with Man City in 13, and then their fixtures really clear up. But these are two great FPL midfielders, and that they are creative attacking players that can provide big chances and also score big chances.
I guess I'm sort of like the idea of having an Arsenal player, like starting around game week 16, someone like maybe Lacazette. I don't know. It's like I'd have to really rethink my whole approach this year if I had two expensive forwards. I really haven't done that yet this season.
Yeah.
But I do think that's a possibility. I think that Huddersfield, Burnley, Brighton, Southampton, just a great run of four fixtures right through the holidays. Yeah, maybe they don't start every single match, but I think that you're going to get probably three starts out of four from Lacazette in those matches.
Well, and look at Aubameyang scored basically all of his goals coming off the bench this season.
Exactly. And so I like that. If Aguero got injured, maybe Aguero to Aubameyang would make sense.
Yeah, just going back briefly to Stephen Toomey's question, and that Arsenal move does seem like it could be a good aggressive move.
Jeff says, we faced 9 games in 5 weeks. Is it time to concentrate on a solid 15-man squad who are more likely to play rather than chase the potentially high scorers who we know will sit out a few games? Classic question.
This is a classic question. I mean, it's an easy response. Field a good squad and have players on your bench that you can rely on just to play. You need to focus on big players, like big explosive players, the Hazards, the Sterlings, the Salahs, the Agüeros of the game.
Right.
Villa. I mean, we say the same thing every week. When it comes to your bench, you don't want players like Leroy Sané chilling on your bench. You want Phil Billings are just Phil Billing around at 4.5. He plays 90 minutes. He'll ping a few shots off the crossbar, and then he'll check out for the season. But that's why you have this guy to come in off your bench and give you two or three points if he can.
Yeah, you just can't load up on players from bad teams. I mean, even if you sort of buy into this, I'm not saying you to buy into it, but like, you know, this the talisman thing. I mean, ultimately, you know, Goodmanson is the talisman for Burnley, but that guy is going to go a lot of games where he doesn't do anything. You know, and you just don't want to load up on players like that. You'd rather, I mean, like we were talking about before, I mean, a lot of these players can come in off the bench and score tons of points anyway. So it doesn't really matter if they don't start. It's, you know, most of these good players are almost always in the 18, right? And they must always get some minutes in a match.
Next question comes from Mark. I have an awful rank overall, 350K. How do I turn things around over Christmas? Mark, your rank's not that bad. You don't have to. I don't know. I feel like my memory of festive fixtures is they're always very rocky. Good things happen and bad things happen. I'm almost solely focused on the FPL Cup when the festive fixtures come around. It's not been a lot of talk about that happening. But, I mean, 350K, your setup, if you can keep that rank moving into game week, you know, the late 20s and early 30s, especially when the double game weeks kick off and you play your chips right, that's a top 100K overall finish for you, Mark. Yeah. So I would not sweat it.
I think it's not about trying to fool other people. It's about being really reactive and really smart about like players as they get into form or team. You know, someone like Christian Eriksen is going to be a really interesting player in a couple of weeks, you know, if he can find the form, right? Because he's got fairly fresh legs, right? He hasn't played a lot of minutes this season, you know, because of his injuries. Now, it could be those injuries just cause him problems all year. But I think, you know, given that he has a track record of being pretty healthy, you know, year in and year out, I think once he's back to fully fit, he could be, you know, like an option. But that's just like, I don't want to get too caught up in Eriksen here, but like just, you know, players like that, it's like you don't need to bring them in before they get good. But once they start to like show flashes of their potential or the player they used to be, then you make the move. You know, it's like it's just being really fast to get on those players early. Legomani and FPL Booster had questions about wildcarding, Brandon. Is there any like, if you still have a wild card, is there, you know, the right time to play it? It feels like it's so particular to any one person and their team, right? I mean, I'm not sure there's like a huge edge in waiting for the fixtures to turn for a particular team this far.
Yeah. If I'm, it is kind of, it's wild to think that there are still wild. It's wild to think there are wild cards still out there. Yeah. It's kind of awesome because I think that we're going to see, like you were saying earlier, there's going to be a lot of hamstrings that go in the next month. I think having a wild card is very much to your advantage just looking at injuries. And I think you'll know when that injury, when that team defining injury happens to your FPL lineup, and you just trigger it right away. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bad things are going to happen to you. Just wait for them to happen. All right, Brandon, we got a lightning round that we're going to do, but this is a super fast, this is like an actual lightning round, not like our pretend normal lightning rounds. All right. So every question I want 20 seconds or less. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Put the clock up in the upper right. Yep. Okay.
Put the clock up. Exactly. It's like Fast Money from Family Feud. First question, Rory Button says, please explain what is happening with Vardy.
Father time, I think, is what's happening to him.
Dave Wagner-Lodo says, should I bench Arnie with a double Man City defense? I could play success at home to Liverpool or Camarasa away to Everton.
You're insane, Dave. Play Arnie.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah,
you Why would Arnie. You play success to one of the strongest defenses in the league and Camarasa? I refuse to believe that this guy even plays in the Premier League. So it's Arnie or nothing.
Dave's like a better manager than both of us, so I think he's like just being nice with the question. So thank you, Dave, for being nice, pretending that you're going to listen, like you're going to pay attention to what we say anyway. Death Star FPL says, under what circumstances would you bring in a Cardiff midfielder? All right, this is a multiple choice question.
Okay, got it. Yeah,
Cardiff midfielder. All right, A, gun to your head. B, loved one kidnapped and you want to release him. You want to secure the release. C, they personally threatened you if you didn't bring them in. He's asking for a friend. See, he knows how to use the hashtag, Brendan.
Yeah. I think Death Star A and C are out because I'm not afraid to die. and I think that's a very interesting bargain in terms of bringing in Cardiff midfielder. So I'm going to have to go with B, a loved one. And I would fight to secure a loved one from a kidnapping by bringing in Patterson.
Yeah, maybe Camarasa. Adam P. says, is form in international matches enough to persuade you to bring in a player? How much stock should we put in international performances?
Not a whole lot, right? I mean, I think it does, you know, it does obviously speak to form. I mean, scoring goals ain't easy. But it's a completely different atmosphere. It's completely different teams, different systems, different levels of discipline. So like a guy like Leroy Sané is going to be the and Shaqiri perfect examples of this, where I see them doing well in the international break and it's turning the screw a little bit on FPL, but it's no until I see them doing something FPL wise in the league, will I be moved to move on them.
I feel like it's more if it's a really good player who's been out of form and they do well. And there's like a Romelu Lukaku a couple seasons ago did this where he was like just started the season really slowly. And then he banged in like three goals for Belgium in an international break. And he came back and he was absolutely on fire for Everton for like the next 10. Remember that amazing run for Lukaku a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah, it was like Vardy set the 11 goal record. And then it looked like Lukaku might even break it in the same season.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, and I feel like, God, was that the same season last year in the league? So, I feel like that is, that's the, like a player who comes out of nowhere to do well in the internationals. That isn't a player like Jordan Ayew scored a brace, for example, the international break, not considered bringing him in. But Sané, because I know he's class, is a little more tempting. The price is a problem. Aaron Boyle says, Man United, are they the next bandwagon to jump on?
No. I mean, Martial is really the only talking point here. And I don't think he's a bandwagon. I think he's just a form FPL player. Either you're in or you're out. See some Lindelof talk, even though it looks like he did pick up a knock over the international break. I am not feeling the United defense at all. I think there's much better value to get elsewhere. So I'm resisting the United talk. Aaron, save Martial.
Okay. Little Jason says, would you ever buy Alonso then stick him straight on your bench because his first fixture is away against Spurs and you were a big fat Spurs fan?
I mean, I guess no. I do want to respect your question a little bit more than that, little Jason, but no, he's Alonso. Yeah. He's flipping amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he scored a brace away to Spurs last season.
Yeah, and think about it. Think about it this way: if he does anything against your beloved Spurs, your bad feelings of bad things happening to Spurs will be tempered by the fact that you just scored a boatload of FPL points. So you win either way.
Jack on Slack says, "Where is the value?" Just that simple. I mean, where's the value?
Do you remember when Arby's did $5 for $5.55 with their roast beef sandwiches? It was
sure,
fantastic,
of course I do.
Value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great value. You couldn't do that anymore, right? Can you imagine eating five sandwiches?
No,
it's like that's like doing like the bread challenge or whatever, right? It's like I think we talked about it earlier. Ryan Fraser, he's the value. He's the one player. Fraser,
he's the one. Wrap him in foil and put him under a hot lamp. He's a roast beef sandwich, just ready to be bought in a pack of five.
Jeff Washma says, "I know some managers don't like the idea of luck playing a hand in their scoring, but." Do some managers get luckier with injuries and suspensions than others, or does it affect all managers equally over the course of the season?
Oh, it's a very life is unfair situation. There was a discussion on our Slack about this, which I really enjoyed, and I think we settled upon luck is about a third of it, and making sound decisions is two thirds of an entire season of FPL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's less that it evens out amongst managers, maybe season by season. Like, Jeff, you'll have a really good season, and then your mini league enemy will have a bad season, and so on and so forth.
It's just like in poker. If there were no luck, there would be eight people who played. Like, the world of fantasy would get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. You want luck to be a factor. Okay, Shiva Sport says, can Hazard still be trusted? Difficult question.
I'm not out on Hazard just yet, even though I dropped him for Sterling. I fear him. I do fear him. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be worried as a Hazard owner at this point.
Yeah, I am worried as an Hazard owner, but I guess I don't not trust him. I don't know. I'm sort of on the fence.
Do you think Chivas is talking about Thorgan Hazard, though, who scored a brace?
He could be talking about Thorgan. That's true. Mm-hmm. Final question here, Brandon. Oshan Ghosh says, with none of the top teams having particular appealing fixtures for the next two game weeks, people scrambling to put out injury fires and possibly taking hits. A lot of people are taking hits this week, it looks like, Brandon. Okay. Might this be a good week to do nothing at all and just see how it goes?
Yeah, I do like that as an approach. I feel like game weeks traditionally coming out of international breaks are very tough to call, and you can see some weird results. So, yeah, I wouldn't overthink your moves at this point. If there is a straightforward move that you want to make, do it. But if you feel unsure, there's no harm in taking a week off and seeing how things shake out.
Yeah, I agree. I really don't. It would be tempting to take a 4-point hit this week, and for my team for sure. I'm not going to do it. I'm just gonna roll, and I just don't. I don't, it's kind of tricky actually. There's a lot of teams with fixtures coming up that I like.
Yeah.
Like feel like who don't have a game week 13 that I love, but I really like them from game week 14 on. So, it may be a good week to wait and see. Game week 13, Brandon, speaking of, let's take a quick look at the fixtures. FPL Classico, who had a very popular post on Twitter today too, Brandon, if you saw that, says with Man City having a midweek game at Lyon, Liverpool away to PSG, and Tottenham hosting Chelsea, I think we have to look elsewhere for captaincy. Personally, he's on Richarlison with Marshall as a vice captain. Yeah. Since Man United have an easy game week, one at home versus Young Boys. What do you think?
Yeah, going back to Ishan's lightning round question in terms of do I make a transfer or not, I do agree here with Classico in that the biggest decision for 13 is likely going to be who we captain. So I think it's an interesting thing to ruminate on. Yeah, looking at my bus team right now, Sergio Aguero has the armband. Even though City's away form has not been as scintillating as their home form, it's still West Ham. Their defense is a bit blundering.
Suspect, yeah.
Yeah, Aguero pictured in training this week already. He's taken the international break off. He's going to be fresh. The way we've seen Pep utilize him this season is if he needs him midweek, he'll just give Sergio 65 minutes. You know, that has proved kind of problematic in that it could limit Aguero's output to a goal instead of five goals. But I still like him against West Ham the most this season. I have my vice captain actually on a punt, as Classico is suggesting, Raul Jimenez. And this is more like a vanity vice captaincy, assuming it won't come into play.
Yeah, it probably won't.
Yeah, so that's where I'm thinking.
Yeah, I like that. I think Aguero's where I am too. I think Salah, way to Watford, is a very valid captaincy choice as well. I think I'm ultimately going to go with Aguero as well. It does seem like a fun week for it. I think next week will be a fun week for it too, when you've got Chelsea at home to Fulham, and Hazard will be a very interesting and compelling captain choice for that game week. Yeah, but as it is, I mean, you know, you and I just saw West Ham play away to Huddersfield, and the defense was not especially impressive. I think that it seems very, very possible that Man City will score their customary, you know, two or three goals at minimum in that match.
Yeah. Any fixtures that jump out to you? How are we? So I'm a new Martial owner, and I look at this Palace fixture, and I like that it's at home. Palace's defense has not been rock solid, even though Sakho and Tompkins have been relatively healthy, and they can stay pretty solid at the back. I just don't like that matchup enough. This is going to be the problem with Martial. I can already see. I'm never going to want to captain this guy. I'm never going to be fully confident of his performance.
Right.
Palace is just that type of team that I feel like could frustrate United. And maybe I'm just doing a little reverse psychology on myself.
Sure.
But I don't know. What do you think about that fixture?
You're right. I mean, Palace ultimately aren't very good. Yeah. But the problem is, we don't know if Man United is any good either. So it's a hard one to pick. I wouldn't captain Martial either. The Everton one is kind of Richarlison as a captain. It's kind of tempting. He might end up playing 90. Everton are actually playing. I think they're playing at the MK. No, excuse me, not Everton. Brazil are playing tomorrow at the MK Don Stadium. I think he may actually start that match, or there's at least a chance he will. He came off the bench in their first match in the friendly. So, I don't know. If he plays 90 minutes at midweek, does that make me a little less likely? It kind of depends on how he plays. He's like a perfect vice captain.
That's right. Richarlison, it's going back to the international break form question. He does strike me as, I mean, we know him as a streaky player at Watford and even earlier this season at Everton. If he bangs in a couple goals there for Brazil coming into this tasty home fixture against Cardiff, it's a compelling argument.
I think so too. But I think in the end, yeah, I think we're both going to go with the more conservative Aguero pick, which I think is just the right pick.
Yeah, a couple of interesting shootouts here. Spurs, Chelsea, that one's hard to predict. And also Bournemouth, Arsenal is going to be a really exciting match. I'm looking forward to that one.
I've got my weird little cheap, my cheap midfielder rotation right now. And I have to decide between Brooks at home to Arsenal or Kennedy away to Burnley. I'm leaning towards Brooks. Brooks is currently my starter. I don't know how I ended up in this predicament. I'm leaning towards, because I want to start using a four-man defense more often, which is, this is like the first week to do it. So I like the idea of having three mids, and then I just kind of sort of rotate that third mid. In theory, this is like the whole plan. This is all going according to plan. I'm nervous about the plan now that it's actually happening.
You have to follow through on it.
I don't want to get into the trap. There's a temptation, because Newcastle play on the Monday game, to have a player for that match. I know that's a dumb approach. But I think I slightly prefer Brooks. He is on corners as well. So maybe he just knocks one in against Arsenal's kind of shady defense, and I pick up 6 points instead of three.
I'd be on Brooks too. So I would agree with that.
All right, Brandon, that's the podcast. Took us a little while to get going. It's always, the second podcast international break, I think, is like one of the toughest ones to do, because you've got nothing to talk about, right? Just like a bunch of friendlies and Oh, he's tricky.
We've also seen each other a fair amount over the last week, so we really have nothing to say like to each other at this point. We're like an old married couple on this podcast. Tired of looking at each other. But yeah, just
we're about to hang out for two more days.
Thanks. Yeah. We talked briefly about our upcoming Patreon pledge drive and exclusive Patreon-only podcast that we're going to start recording in the coming weeks. For more information on how you can support the podcast and check that stuff out, just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Yeah. We have a Starting 11 retro kit contest, which is running in November, too. And that's open to anybody. You get a free retro kit if you score the most points in the month of November. And that's open to anybody that pledges anytime this month.
Yeah, Guy who won our October retro kit contest from Starting 11 picked out the 2000 era Liverpool jersey. Pretty sweet looking. You can go to 3retro.com and check out all the shirts they have there. So thanks to our friends at Starting 11 for sponsoring that contest. Some thank yous to our producers, as always: Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, and Chris Carter. Thanks to you guys.
Yep, thanks, guys. And if you want to listen to the podcast, you can subscribe. We're now on Spotify, which is very exciting. I have actually even started to listen to the podcast on Spotify myself. I'm in Spotify a lot, Brandon. I'm a hashtag old, so you know I got to Spotify late, and so I've taken to it with like a convert's zeal, you know.
Uh-huh, okay.
But you can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, so many other places as well. Basically, any place that takes a podcast feed, you can find us. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you can review a podcast. That would be great. It helps us to find people and continue to grow. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And if you've missed all of this, you can visit the website, alwayscheating.com.
Josh, I think the most important thing that our listeners can do is actually to have fun, stay safe, get lots of sleep, drink lots of water, stay healthy out there, and have a great game week 13. I know you guys can do it. Good luck to you all.
Yep. And if you're an American, happy Thanksgiving. Probably be a little bit of radio silence on social media over the next couple of days. Enjoy it.
Hail to Poku, the original Mayflower.
The three ships that sailed over. Yeah, the Nina, the Poku, and the Santa Maria were the three. So, yeah, hail Poku.